The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
It is a subject that I personally do not ever remember having heard a sermon on this particular topic. However, I do believe that it is a topic that all believers should learn about, because sooner or later, most will probably discover what it means to be chastened of the Lord. In Scripture, this term chastening is used to describe acts of discipline or correction, or what we might refer to as corporal punishment. You may want to use the word spanking, that kind of thing. According to the Bible, the Lord's chastening is generally considered as being painful and unpleasant, and it is intended as a reprimand so that we will change our behavior. It's, in other words, it's done to interrupt a behavior, which is exactly why we discipline any child. And so we do it because there's something going on, there's a behavior that's happening that we don't want them to do, whatever it is. And then the severity of it depends upon what the act is that they are doing. Same thing with God, same thing with us. In the Old Testament, the events surrounding the children of Israel, including defeat by the enemy armies, were often referred to as chastisement for sin and rebellion. Now, go with me, if you would, to Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 2. Deuteronomy 11 and verse 2. "And know you this day, for I speak not with your children which have not known, and which have not seen the chastisement of the Lord your God, his greatness, his mighty hand, and his stretched out arm." However, having said what we have said to this point, the purpose of chastening is not to destroy. And that's a very positive thing. It's a very good thing for us to understand real early. Go with me to Psalm 118 and verse 18. 118 verse 18. It says, "The Lord has chastened me sore, but he has not given me over unto death." You know, you go, isn't this a contradiction? No, it's not. You know, no, it's not. Think about those of us who are parents. And there have been times whenever we were a child and we were corrected by our parents, hopefully because they loved us and they interrupted a behavior, or because we as a parents, we interrupted a behavior with our child or our grandchildren or whatever, and it might have made them, to use this term, sore. It doesn't mean like there's a lot of beatings, you know, a lot of whelps and all of that. It's not what it's referring to. But there was some pain involved. But he didn't turn me over to death. And that is the positive thing, is not to destroy. And that's what we need to understand. It is to lead to repentance and to restore God's blessing. Psalm 94 and verse 12. Psalm 94 and verse 12. "Blessed is the man whom you chasten, O Lord, and teach him out of your law." So here, early in this teaching, I'd like for us to realize chastening of the Lord is not a bad thing. Oh, yes, I understand. Although it is unpleasant, it is not to be confused with wrath or judgment or condemnation of God. Those are separate categories. This is the chastening of the Lord. That's not what that is. That's something else. It is a reference to the correction and the discipline of a loving Heavenly Father toward His children. It is more like this loving God who is like a loving physical human parent, it's, you know, we can see it, we can liken it in that way, who finds the occasional need to correct us with a spiritual spanking whenever we sin and rebel against God, and he finds it necessary to chastise us. You go, well, I don't ever want him to do that. Well, we don't want him to do that, but by the end of this teaching, I hope we will all come to the conclusion we're glad he does. We're glad that he does. You go, wait a minute, I'm getting a spiritual thinking and I'm thanking God for it. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to get us all to that place. I have an interesting statement. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. We find an interesting statement there. Hebrews 12, verse 5 and 6. Verse 5 says, "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives." So, when God allows difficulties, hard times, hardships, all of these various kinds of things to come upon us, what we need to understand is it is proof of his love for us. Please let me try to explain what I mean by that. So again, I want to make the statement here. It is like a loving father who corrects or disciplines his son or daughter whom he loves. Now go back to Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 12. Proverbs 3 and verse 12. "For whom the Lord loves, he corrects," or he chastens, "even as a father the son in whom he delights." So the loving God chastens, which is a good Bible word, every child of his to make us be or to become a better person. He's doing it to interrupt a behavior to get us back on track with where he wants us to be going. And so like I said earlier, it's not a bad thing. Yes, unpleasant at the moment, but it's not a bad thing whenever you consider the whole subject. Since God has chosen us as his children, as he has, and since he has brought us out of this world, and he has, and since he has cleansed us by the blood of Jesus Christ, and he has given us of his Holy Spirit, and he has, God lovingly corrects or chastens us during our lives because he loves us. I remember as an adult, my family was visiting at my parents' house, and I have a brother who has since died, but he was there with his family, one of these kind of visits, family reunion type thing. And my brother told my dad, my mom was there too, but he was talking to my dad, and he said, "You used to tell us, when we were young and you would correct us, you'd give us these spankings, you're doing it because you loved us." He said, "Now you said other words, but that's what I got." And he said, "I used to hope and wish that you didn't love me so much." And then he said, "But I'm glad you did every one of them. And I want to tell you a couple of them that you didn't do that you should have." So it was one of those kinds of conversations. I've told my parents some things that I did, and my parents said, no, you, that's not really what you did. You did this. And I went, "No, this is really what I did." And anyway, so we all understand that we had correction. Hopefully we had correction from our parents. And no, we probably didn't like it at the time. I don't remember ever telling my dad, "Thank you for spanking me." But I thought about it later. You know, years later, I've really thought about it a lot and thanked, you know, God that my dad was that way. Because it's like God the Father. Now, that's hard sometimes for people to get, but it is. Solomon it got to the place, and we see it in Scripture, where he exhorted his son not to despise the Lord's chastening or to get weary from the correction that God was given to him. Now, Solomon is an interesting person to ask for that, you know, to tell his son doing that because of some of the situations that he got into. But in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 11, he says, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary or resentful of his correction." I've had over the years different people in the Church of God who have told me that they have resented God's correcting them. They didn't understand this. They didn't understand the purpose of God chastening us. And I'm really sorry they never got it. They didn't understand it. You try to explain it to somebody, and a lot of times it comes back is because it doesn't excuse it, but it comes back because they didn't have that right type of relationship with their parents, who maybe corrected them, but it didn't do it out of love. They did it out of spite or whatever else. And so they didn't get the right understanding. And so they despised or resentful against God when he corrected them for things that they did. And that's sad. That's really sad. And brethren, we want us all to please understand and realize this chastening of the Lord is not intended to discourage us, because, again, it is proof of God's love for us. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 5. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 5. "You shall also consider in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you." The sense of the Hebrew here is connected to love. You read just the Hebrew, you read just the English words, and you don't get that love is connected to that. But that is the sense of it. Because just like your parent, a father corrects his children, the implication is, then the sense of it out of the Hebrew is that he does it because of the right reasons. He does it because he loves you. Well, this is what this verse is telling us. This is why God does it. It's his proof to us that he does love us. And brethren, I think that it should be obvious, or at least I want it to be obvious to all of us, that not all our troubles are a result of God's chastening. I mean, some of our challenges may simply be trials of our faith or attacks from the enemy. Now, yes, God is allowing this, but he hasn't done it with that intent. I mean, he didn't initiate it. There are times whenever God has initiated it, chastisement or chastening of the Lord, because he wants us to stop. He's interrupted the behavior. He wants us to stop what it is we're doing and get back on track with him. But there are other times when other things happen, and again, God has allowed it, but he didn't necessarily set it up or initiated. And yet, if or when chastening comes, and I mean chastening of the Lord, the subject we're talking about, it will be accomplished by our conviction of our own sin and rebellion, as God will stay in it until we get his point. He's not going to discipline us the one time and say, okay, there it is. That's not how he does. That's not what his purpose is. His purpose is to get us away from the sin, the rebellion, or whatever term we would want to use there, to get us back to where he wants us to be. And he's not going to get away from that until we have. And that's a positive thing, even though it may be unpleasant while we're going through it. But the quicker we get it, what he wants us to do, the better off we are. Because God's purpose is not the correction. His purpose is for us to live his way of life. He would rather that we never did anything wrong. I would rather that I never did anything wrong. But you can fill in blanks there. We know what happens. So as a loving parent who has found it necessary to discipline his child, our Father's compassionate arms are always, always there, stretched out to us, again, desiring us to come to him in repentance and humility that he may restore his blessings upon us. Proverbs 28 and verse 13. Proverbs 28 and verse 13. He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. So we need to ask, why is it necessary for us to be chastened by the Lord? Well, I've kind of already given you it, but I want to give you now what I would say are three points to explain it, to put it in, you know, on a 1, 2, 3. There are others that we could come up with. You could come up with your own and add to it, but I have three that I want to focus on here. Number one, the chastening of God frees us from condemnation with the world. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 32. 1 Corinthians 11:32. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. That's what he says. That's what he tells us. He's doing this so that we're not going to be condemned with the world. Number two, the chastening of God makes us partakers of his holiness. Hebrews 12 and verse 10. For they, and the they there are meaning our human fathers, for they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. And, you know, as much as I love my dad and as much as I appreciate what he did, and I think he did a lot of this correctly, I still would have to say this is true, even of my dad. But he, meaning God, for our profit or for our benefit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. They did it because we were doing things they didn't like. God does it because it's for our profit, it's for our benefit. And in this verse it says that we will be partakers of his holiness. In other words, we're going to be like he is. And the third thing that I have, and again, like I said, there are others. The third one is chastening of God yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Go with me to Malachi 3 and verse 3. Malachi 3 and verse 3. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, as in the former years. I read this earlier, but I want to read it here connected to this particular point. And this is again in Hebrews 12 and verse 11. Now, no chastening for the pleasant seems to be joyous, but grievous nevertheless. Afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. And brethren, let's make no mistake about it. The attitude we have toward accepting God's chastening is very important. Now, I know there were times as a child, I mean, I'm speaking for myself here because I can't speak for somebody else as a child and had chastening of the father, you know, their father, but I can speak of myself. There were times that I resented it as a child. I didn't like it. Sometimes I thought, well, this is not right because I didn't do the main part of the bad here. Or whatever it is. We come up with our own rationale. You know, and that's what happens. That the attitude we have toward accepting God's chastening is very important. Proverbs 3 and verse 11. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. And then in Hebrews 12 and verse 5, we're going to read this verse, Hebrews 12 and verse 5. For you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children. My son, despise not you the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when you are rebuked of him. Because, brethren, what we see is we must come to the place that we recognize that it is for our profit that he deals with us in this manner. He's not just angry at us. He's interrupting a behavior because he wants us to get back in a particular way that he wants us to live our lives. And so the attitude that we accept it in is very important. Hebrews 12 and verse 10, for they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. You see, the end result of it is he wants us to be more and more and more like he is. He doesn't want us to continue in the way that we are. He wants us to change and become like he is. And I'd have to say the sooner we get to that, the better off we all are going to be. Let's also understand in chastening his children, meaning us, God does not treat us harshly, but he treats us gently with the love of a father. Let's go to the book of Job. Go with me to the book of Job, chapter 5. Now, you know the story of Job, but let's go to Job chapter 5, verse 17. Job 5:17. Behold, happy is the man whom God corrects. Therefore despise you not the chastening of the Almighty. For he makes sore and binds up. He wounds and his hands make whole. It's for our good. Psalm 103 in verse 8, and we're going to read a few verses here. Psalm 103, beginning in verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us after our sins. No, we would be dead. Nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities them that fear him, for he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. I have one more passage I want to read in this context. It's in the book of Lamentations 3, verse 31 through 33. Lamentations 3:31. For the Lord will not cast off forever. Isn't that an awesome statement? You know? But though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. Or, as another translation says, so great is his unfailing love. In verse 33, for he does not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. In other words, he doesn't do it just to do it. There is a purpose. There is a reason, and something that is necessary. And when it's necessary, he chastens us to interrupt our behavior so that we will change and we become more like he is and more like Jesus Christ. So, as the wise believers, hopefully, that we are, we will come to the place that we appreciate our loving Father, and we will see his corrective chastening as being his goal for our perfection in godliness, to become just like he is. Hebrews 12, verse 5. We're going to read several verses, and we're going to reread some of the verses that we've read, but we'll read it in the context here. And I think we'll see some things a little bit different. Hebrews 12, verse 5. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when you are rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chastens not? But if you be without chastisement, in other words, you don't receive it, whereof all are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. Now, all of us, when we hear this word, things flare up in us because of backgrounds, because of things we've heard, things that we've been taught, things that we either believe that are right or wrong, whatever. But it flares up into us. But this is what it says. It says, if you receive it, then you're like a son. If you don't receive it, then you're like a bastard to God. Verse 9, furthermore, in other words, I'm not stopping here. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Or they receive it and they change. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down. After you've received a correction, isn't that how we typically felt as a child? And it's like our hands are hanging down. And this is what he's saying. Lift them up, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. In other words, take the correction because he did it because he loved us, and he's interrupting our behavior because he wants us to look like God. It's a beautiful picture whenever you actually think about this. You know, when you really see it for what it is. So I want us to understand, without chastening in our lives, we have no evidence that we are a child of God. And therefore, we don't see an eternal inheritance in front of us. God's word declares that we are bastards if we do not have this loving punishment from God in our lives. We just read verse 8, and it says, but if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, in other words, they're all going to receive it. Everybody's going to receive the chastisement. It's just, what do we do with it? Since we don't receive it, then we are bastards and not sons. The Greek word here for bastard is nothos, N-O-T-H-O-S. And the word means of uncertain affinity or of uncertain likeness. In other words, we don't know, the Father doesn't know that we look like He looks. It is a spurious or illegitimate son. Therefore, a bastard. Now think about it. Think about it this way. What kind of a son will a father tend to ignore and neglect? And just think about it. What kind would it be? An illegal pretender. Not really a son, but he's pretending to be a son. So please realize, brethren, any chastening from God is a temporary punishment that He brings to correct us from sin and to turn us back into His way of righteousness. So I state again, it is very different from God's wrath or condemnation or eternal judgment. The biblical concept of chastening of the Lord is a father affection to perfect his children. It's a father's affection in trying to perfect his children. Matthew 5:48. Be you therefore perfect, even as your Father which in heaven is perfect. And if we're not exactly like He is in everything and we mess up, He's going to interrupt that behavior because He wants us to look just like He is. And He's perfect in every way. And that's what He's wanting for us. And you know, and I go, yeah, but you know, we're human. We're not going to do. Well, that's what goal God has for us. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Now we read that verse earlier, but it has a different concept when we hear it here, doesn't it? So, brethren, I want us to all understand, godly chastening proves His love for us. I want us to look at for a moment and consider an example of God's chastening over in the book of Jeremiah. This chastening of God, chastening of the Lord, caused some of God's children to reflect on their sins, and as a result, they turned to God and they had a desire as a result of this chastening to submit and to serve God more perfectly. It's exactly what God, end result, wants us to be like. And so it's recorded for us, and it's a real good thing. And brethren, here's the point as we read this that I want us to think about. If something like this happened to us, we should thank God for this personal gesture of love toward us. Go to Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31. I'm going to read this in the New American Standard Bible. It just has it a little clearer. It says the same thing, but it's a little clearer. Jeremiah 31 and verse 18. I have surely heard Ephraim's grieving. And then it's like Ephraim is speaking. You have chastened me, and I was chastened like an untrained calf. Bring me back that I may be restored, for you are the Lord my God. For after I turned back, I repented, and after I was instructed, I smote on my thigh. You know, I struck my thigh. It's a sign of grief or sorrow. New Testament refers to it as smote on his chest. That's it's a sign of grief and sorrow. And he goes on and he says, "And I was ashamed and also humiliated because I bore the reproach of my youth." In other words, I was acting like a child. You know, this is what he's saying. So he came back. He was chasing and he's wanted to come back, and God brought him back. And then the next verse 20, it's like God is speaking. "Is Ephraim my son, is my dear son?" And he answers, "Yes, he is." "Is he a delightful child?" "Indeed. As often as I have spoken against him, I surely still remember him. Therefore, my heart yearns for him. I will surely have mercy on him," declares the Lord. A personal touch, personal gesture from God recorded. We should thank God if that happens and we're that aware of it as this is made clear here. Does this kind of thing happen in our life? Sure it does. Or it doesn't, and we're illegitimate. Please understand, brethren, this awesome and merciful God does not owe us this kind of correction. He does it because he loves us. He does it because he wants us to be part of his family. And I say he doesn't owe us to it because he could simply leave us struggling in our confusion and sin. But he doesn't. Because he wants us. So let me ask you this question. When we look back on chastening from God in our lives, can we recognize that it has brought more prayerfulness, carefulness, and soberness to our lives? And I ask this question because I hope so, because it should do this for us. That is what it should be. We should be more careful and more cautious and more sober. Sober here could be the wise, meaning more so wise in our approach to life, because we don't want to make Daddy unhappy. We want him to be happy, and we want him to be happy with us. We want him to be happy with me, because I'm pleasing him, and I'm doing it. And if we mess up, to use that term, he corrects us, and we take it so we can get back in his good gracious. That's what he wants, and that's what we want. King David was thankful for some afflictions that happened in his life because he saw there was profit from it. He saw that there was benefit to him personally in his life after God had chastened him. So let's go to Psalm 119. It makes some interesting statements there. Psalm 119, verse 67. "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept your word." Because what he is implying is God chastened him, and he came back. Verse 71, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn your statutes." This word in both 67 and in 71, afflicted, in some translations, more modern translations, has the word chastened. So that's the concept that is here. I have one more here. It's verse 75. "I know, O Lord, that your judgments are right, and that you in faithfulness have afflicted me," or chastened me. He saw the benefit. He was thankful for the benefit that God brought in his life, because God correcting him, disciplining him, chastening him. And as God's children, afflictions in our lives happen primarily for I'm going to say four primary reasons. You could break it down, come up with a lot of other things, but I think I can bring it down to four. I'm happy with that. Somebody wants to come up with others, fine. Number one, it's because of loving correction from God. Number two, to display His glory in our lives. What we're looking at is four primary reasons for afflictions in our lives or for chastening in our lives. We could sum it up with one, because we messed up and God loves us. That's really not, I'm breaking it down a little bit more. Number one was loving correction from God. Number two is to display His glory in our lives. Number three, to perfect our faith. Number three, to perfect our faith. And number four, because of consequences of foolish decisions that we have made. And see, here's the point. God can accomplish one or all of these purposes or reasons in any individual event and happening in our lives. Because He knows exactly what He's doing. Because He knows the end from the beginning. He knows what His goal is. He knows us. He knows us, and He wants us to live in a way of life. And so we get off. He allows us to go in certain directions until we get certain places that He doesn't want us to go. And then comes the chastening of the Lord to move us back into where He wants us to be. Now, I know that's really an oversimplification, but I think we can see it in that way. Also, brethren, I want us to understand, since all of the reasons, these four reasons that I gave, are fair and good, there is no excuse for us to complain when God chastens us. He's doing it for our profit. He's doing it because He loves us. He does it because we are His sons and not illegitimate. But we are His sons and His daughters. I mean, after all, there is mercy. And that mercy is very, very close at hand for those who humble themselves and submit themselves to God. It is our responsibility to examine ourselves. And the primary way to examine ourselves is going to God for directions. Psalm 26 and verse 2. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. This is a verse that takes a lot of guts to do. Because God will. Psalm 139 verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So, brother, let's all understand the proper attitude toward chastening of the Lord is to remember that it proves God's love to us. We read it earlier, Deuteronomy 8 and verse 5. That you shall also consider in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you. And this is the verse that I said, the sense of it in the Hebrew is it is connected to love. That's the proper attitude that we should have toward chastening of the Lord. And the proper response to chastening from the Lord can be seen in the book of Job. It's from the words of Elihu, who is talking to Job. It's an interesting words here to see it in the context of this particular topic. Go with me to Job 34 and verse 31. Job 34, verse 31. Surely it is meet to be said unto God, I have borne chastisement, I will not offend any more. That which I see not, teach you me. If I have done iniquity, I will do no more. And Job, just like us at times, or too many times, could have had his trials removed sooner if he had humbled himself and cried out in repentance to God for mercy. Now, I'm not really criticizing Job. You know, I'm not really criticizing him. I'm just saying, but this is what the scripture tells us in Job 36. Elihu is speaking here. Verse 15. 36, verse 15. He delivered the poor in his affliction and opened their ears in oppression. Even so would he have removed you out of the strait into a broad way where there is no straightness, and that which should be set on your table should be full of fatness. In other words, wealth, richness. But you have fulfilled the judgment of the wicked. Judgment and justice take hold on you. Because there is wrath, beware lest he take you away with his stroke. Then a great ransom cannot deliver you. So the quicker that we get to the place of repentance and telling God, we know I screwed up, I am so sorry, please forgive me, he delivers us quicker. But it's not just words. It has to be the actual response of our heart. This is what it is saying. It has to be real. It's not just words. It's real. We really mean it because we want to get back closer to God because we've seen that we're off and we don't like it out there. We want to be where God is. And so, brethren, let's all realize this is an example so that we can learn from. So as we come to the end of this teaching on chastening of the Lord, let me ask, how is this with us? What I mean by that is, are we thankful for his loving chastening of the Lord in our lives? Brother and I bring it down to, it's a yes or no. We may put up with it, we may receive it, but are we thankful for it? Which is what it should be. Because this is a loving Father who has corrected us because he wants us to go in the right direction, because it's for our good that we do exactly what he wants us to do. Why? He already knows what is best. We believe he knows what is best. We thank him for being there and knowing what is best. And so whenever he disciplines us, corrects us, brings us back, we thank him that he did. Is that where we are? And do we count it as the blessing from our loving God that it really is in our lives? The Aaronic blessing. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his son, saying, on this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. God bless each and every one of you, brethren. God bless you all.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.